Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. So happy to have you with us today. Wow. Do we have a lot going on? And by the way, we could have some big developments coming out of the House of Representatives. Freedom Caucus guys and gals are spitting mad over Kevin McCarthy. Do not be surprised if McCarthy is a short-termer in the speaker chair. We're going to get to that a little bit later on. Also, still waiting for any word on whether or not President Trump might be charged. Looks like if I'm reading the cards right here, it looks like they're going to try and charge the former president under the Espionage Act. So we will keep you updated, and our team is monitoring all of our news sources, and we'll bring that information to you should it happen. I want to start off, though, by something that happened last night in Glendale, California. Now, this is a very liberal area of California. Well, the whole state's liberal. But what's interesting about Glendale, this is home to a very large Armenian-American population. Now, the Armenians are very conservative. And by very conservative, they would think that yours truly is a liberal. They are very conservative. And the Armenian-Americans do not like the idea that their kids are being radicalized in the public school system. Now, this has been part of an ongoing issue for the past, I would say a couple of weeks, when a bunch of grade schoolers were forced to attend a pride-related event, a pride pep rally at North Hollywood Elementary School. And again, I know you're saying, Hollywood, wait a second, why are the parents there? You know, the parents there are the ones forcing their kids to wear the dresses. Well, yes, but a larger segment of the population, which happens to be ultra-conservative, they are not very supportive of this, and they're really upset. Now, the school board has been considering a full-on embracement of the LGBT agenda. They were actually considering last night to this idea that they would introduce a gay curriculum into the public school system. So, in other words, it's more important in Glendale for the boys and girls to learn how to do gay and lesbian sex than it is to learn how to read and write and add and subtract. And that's a big problem because let's just put it in the context of living in Hollywood, California. If you're going to your plastic surgeon, you would like to think the plastic surgeon actually graduated based on merit and learned how to do something other than be a gay or a lesbian in school, right? Or more importantly, if you're going down to the yoga shop and you want to get one of those, I don't know, the drinks that all the young people drink these days, what is the green one that looks like liquefied lawn clippings? Matcha? Yeah. So if you're going to go and you're going to get a matcha, you want to be able to get proper change back, right? I mean, that's just the bare basics. But you're not going to be able to do that anymore because they're not teaching the kids how to read or write. They're not teaching the kids how to add or subtract. They're teaching the kids how to do the boot, scoot, and boogie with the same sex. And the Armenian-American parents are saying, whoa, Nelly, not going to happen, not here. So last night, as the school board was meeting, hundreds of Armenian-American dads turned out in force. And I just want to say something to the LGBT community, and this is an act of public service by Todd Starnes. You don't want to mess with those folks. But the activist, the pro-gay activist, who we believe to be Antifa-related, they decided to push back, and they learned a very important lesson. You better have a good dental plan. The fights were brutal. We have videos on ToddStarnes.com. It was ugly. As a matter of fact, the police ended up having to call in the riot folks. It got that crazy. But the school district was determined to stand their ground on this. And the school district says, we will celebrate gay pride. We will force your children to learn about gay history. I don't think it's over just yet. But something very interesting is happening. I've noticed that it's not so much the Christian parents, because, and I hate to say this, but Christians, you do a pretty lousy job of protesting in America. I happen to be one, but, you know, it is what it is. Jews, you don't do a very good job of protesting either. But I got to tell you something. The Muslims, oh, they know how to protest. Oh, yes, they do. And it's starting to happen where moms and dads of the Muslim persuasion are waking up and they're realizing, oh, we're not tolerating this in our public schools. And they're going out to the school board meetings. And it's getting to the point now where the Democrats are being put in a very uncomfortable position where they are now calling out these Muslim moms and dads. Now, I want you to hear some audio from a Maryland Democrat. I told you this is happening all over America. Maryland Democrat Kristen Meek. And she is very upset that these Muslim parents are not getting on board with the gay sex curriculum, Cut 19.
This issue has unfortunately put some, not all, of course, but some Muslim families on the same side of an issue as white supremacists and outright bigots. And, you know, the folks who I've talked to here today, I would not put in the same category as those folks. Although, you know, it's, again, complicated because they're falling on the same side of this particular issue.
Now, I just think this is hilarious. She was horrified, terrified. Now, I'm not calling all Muslims bad Muslims, and I'm not even calling the bad Muslims. But again, we need to call some of them bad, but they're really not all that bad, but they're kind of bad. And what she's, please don't blow me up. I mean, that's what she was saying. She didn't want to admit it, but that. Please don't declare a fatwa on me. This is beautiful. And this is a great strategy here. Maybe just be, by the way, if this had been Christians, oh, she would have been always, you nasty Christians. And I'm not talking about some of you Christians. I'm talking about all of you Christians, the Methodists and the President. Oh, even you Episcopalians. You're a bunch of white supremacists walking around in your Klan robes, burning your crosses. You're evil. All of you people are evil. But when it comes to the Muslims, now I'm not saying all of you are bad. Please don't hurt me. No, seriously, that's what it really is all about. I mean, they're terrified. So this could be a brilliant strategy. Maybe the Christians and the Jews just need to sit this one out, and maybe we just need to let the Muslims go out there and take care of business. Maybe just send the Muslim moms and dads, send the imams to the school board meetings, and let them deal with it. You think that's a good idea, ladies and gentlemen? I think this is a brilliant idea. But Glendale, California seems to be the ground zero, if you will, of this raging war on indoctrinating your kids. And there's a fascinating story over at the Daily Signal. Tony Kinnett is the author here and did a good job. This is an exclusive on the Daily Signal. Ray Shelton is a 25-year veteran of the school system there. Teaches fifth grade. He has been placed on leave. And the reason why is that he complained at a school board meeting that his local grade school, that would be Mark Keppel Elementary School, has been promoting transgenderism. Now, here is an interesting fly in the ointment, if you will. Mr. Shelton happens to be gay of the homosexual variety. And Mr. Shelton came to school wearing a T-shirt that said, make biology great again. So Mr. Shelton, as a gay man, does not believe that transgenderism is a real thing. He did an interview with the Daily Signal, and he said that his intent in addressing the school board was to speak what he called basic common sense truths. And here's what he told the board. 2 + 2 = 4. The world is not flat. Boys have penises. Girls have vaginas. Gender is binary and cannot be changed. Biology is not bigotry. Are you hearing anything that you disagree with here, folks? heterosexuality is not hate. Gender confusion and gender delusion are deep psychological disorders. No caring professional or loving parent would ever support the chemical poisoning or surgical mutilation of a child's genitalia. Transgender ideology is anti-gay, it is anti-woman, it is anti-human. It wants to take away women's sports, women's rights, women's achievements. It is misogyny writ large. And I can also say this as a gay, and he goes on and he starts talking about, I can also say this as a gay man, and then they cut his microphone off. So here we are, where even gay school teachers who stand up and say, we got a problem here, they are being silenced. This is how radical this agenda is. And trust me, ladies and gentlemen, it is happening in every school district in America. I'm telling you, every single one. By the way, I want to give a shout out to our great audience. Yesterday, I told you about a situation in my hometown, Germantown, Tennessee. Our school district was considering some rule changes that would have prevented moms and dads from speaking out on any concerns they might have about classroom activities. Well, thanks to your phone calls and your emails, the school board decided not to do it after all. They reconsidered. And I say good for the school board and good for you, because had you not made those calls, had you not sent the emails, they would have implemented that policy. So it's important, and it is incumbent upon all of us to stay alert, to be watchmen on the wall. And I want to remind you that ultimately this is about coming after the children. Now, what was it? Last year, you had the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, and they performed this anthem, and it drew a lot of fire. But you need to listen to this again, and it's important because you need to understand these are, I don't know, what is it, 150, 200 people in the gay men's choir? I have no idea. But there they are singing at the top of their lungs what they are doing. And you need to pay attention to this. Take a listen.
And the world's getting kinder. Gen Z's gayer than Grindr. Learn to love, learn to vogue, face your fate. We'll convert your children. Someone's gotta teach them not to hate.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what it's all about. And that is straight from the, pardon the pun, straight from the Gay Men's Chorus in San Francisco. They're coming for your kids. You better wake the heck up, America. All right, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. Again, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. I'm curious, what are you doing to root out this evil and this perversion in your school districts? This is, folks, I'm telling you, this is the issue of this generation. We'll be right back. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. Oh, well, I completely forgot about that story. So also in San Francisco, this bit of breaking historic news, the next Miss California could be a mister. This is happening in real time here. A guy who says he's a woman won the Miss San Francisco pageant, and that's one of the feeder beauty pageants for the Miss America contest down the road. So you folks in California, the prettiest woman in California is apparently going to be a man. And I don't know what that says about women in San Francisco specifically, but they judged, you know, they had a team of professional judges and they sat there and they had all the contestants parade by and they said, you know what? We believe the handsomest woman here happens to be this dude. And I've seen the photograph. Yeah, he's a looker. It is what it is. What is the guy's name? Hold on, I've got the story here. The guy's name is Monroe Lace. You know, they always choose ladies' unmentionables for the last names, right? So it's like Monroe Girdle, Monroe Pantyhose. I mean, but in this particular case, he chose Lace. He became the first man in the 99-year history of the pageant to win. And what's interesting, and this goes back to what we were talking about in the first segment of the program, he says that he's doing this to make a difference for the children. He says it's always about the children for the transgender people. It's very strange. Anyway, Mr. Lace actually visits elementary schools almost every day, where he's a grown man, 25 years old. He reads books, and one of the books he read to fourth graders was about a boy who wants to wear women's clothing. Now, we can have a conversation on what kind of a school system would let a grown man inside a building to groom children, but it is what it is. But look, here's the thing. This really is the issue of our lifetime. Nikki Haley got that right during her town hall meeting. And we've already seen men decimate women's sports, crushing historic records, breaking all sorts of records in college swimming and track and field. And now the men are set to win even more titles, even the evening gown competition. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Some big Trump news we're going to tell you about coming up. Our number again, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes. Hey folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Glad to have you with us today. This is a weird story out of Washington. So a group of school children from they're from Greenville, South Carolina, Rushing Brook School, and it's a kids' choir, and they were invited to sing and perform several songs at the U.S. Capitol. Now, Capitol Police are telling us one story, and the lawmakers from South Carolina are telling us a different story. So you're going to have to figure out who to believe here. Anyway, the kids were singing the national anthem when they were ordered to stop by Capitol Police. And the Capitol Police said that the children were engaging in an act of demonstration inside Statuary Hall of the U.S. Capitol. I want you to hear the kids singing, and then you're going to hear the kids stop, and that's the moment when they were ordered to cease and desist, cut number 10. And that's it. That's when they were stopped. It's really disgusting. We've got the video up on our website, toddstearns.com. So anyway, from what we understand from the congressman, that these children had received permission to perform in the hall by the speaker himself. And it was really ugly. The Capitol Police say, no, they're lying. No one's allowed to sing anywhere in the Capitol building. And the children were in the wrong here. Now, I remember a couple of years ago, did a story about this when I was at Fox. You had some school children, and they were praying out there on the plaza. You know where all the reporters go running out to whenever there's some sort of a big ruling from the Supreme Court? Well, the kids were out there. It was a Christian school, and they were taking their annual spring tour of D.C., and the kids stopped, and they circled up, and they held hands, and what they were, the teachers were having the kids pray in front of the Supreme Court. They did the same thing at the Capitol building and the White House. So it was just kind of a thing Christian schools do. It was very beautiful, to be honest with you. Anyway, the Capitol Police went down and they literally disrupted. They physically broke up the prayer circle, like these little middle school kids were domestic terrorists or something. And they ordered the kids to stop praying on the Supreme Court Plaza, that it was against the law. And I'll never forget, I interviewed the teachers at the time, wrote a chapter in my book about this. The teachers got the kids together and they stood on a storm gutter and the kids continued their prayer. Now, this is America. It's an ugly thing that's happening. And that happened during the Obama years. So I'm not surprised this is happening during the Obama years, part two. So President Trump heard about this. Actually, everybody's heard about it. It happened several days ago. So President Trump getting ready to hold a big rally in South Carolina. And here's what the president had to say about it. Cut number 3.
Well, I just want to say hello and pay my respects to a very talented group of people. The Rushing Brook Children's Choir. I heard about what happened at the Capitol. And that's a shame. It's a serious thing to have an event like that, such a beautiful time in your lives and such an important time in your lives to be interrupted in such a way. But we are going to have you in South Carolina, and you're going to sing at a rally for us in front of tens of thousands of people. And we're all going to have a great time together. We love our country. We're going to take care of our country, and we're going to pay respect to those people that love it. And nobody loves it more than you. So Rushing Brook, remember, South Carolina at our first rally. It'll be announced soon, and you're going to be there. And thank you for everything, and thank you for loving America.
How about that? That's going to be pretty awesome, and I can't wait to see that. But you know what I find interesting is he's the only person running for the presidency right now who had the foresight to invite that choir to perform at a campaign event. Now, what does that tell you? I'm saying that Donald Trump, he knows what's going down. He does. By the way, my hat is off to the congressional delegation from South Carolina. The congressmen all got together and they said, hey, look, this is not right. We are going to pay for this out of our own pocket, but we're going to invite the kids back. And sure enough, they're going to invite the kids back. They're going to be able to perform, and it's an all expense paid trip if they're able to work it out. And the congressmen are going to pick up the tab. And I say, good for you. But this should never have happened in the first place. And shame on the Capitol Police who shut this down. The idea that you can't have a bunch of school kids singing the national anthem at the U.S. Capitol building is absurd. Absolutely absurd. And shame on you. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This just happened on the floor of the House. So, again, folks, so you understand the priorities of our elected leaders, the children, the good, decent Christian children of South Carolina are not allowed to sing, but they will honor a drag queen. Cut number 20. This just happened.
This gentleman from California, Mr. Garcia, for 5 minutes.
Mr. Speaker, the House Library is open. Now I rise to commemorate the start of Pride Month by honoring the one and only queen of drag, RuPaul. An artist, a philanthropist, and a barrier breaker, RuPaul Charles has become an American phenomenon and an icon. Nobody has more charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent than RuPaul Charles. Now, Ru's career launched as a drag performer in New York, and then as a successful pop artist releasing his first hit album, Supermodel of the World. In total, he has released 15 studio albums. RuPaul also became the first gay black man to host his own talk show, The RuPaul Show. He is most known, of course, for his multi-Emmy award-winning show, RuPaul's Drag Race. Now, Drag Race and its many domestic and international spinoffs has put drag in the global spotlight. The show has helped launch and uplift the careers of thousands of drag queens and artists. But more importantly, the show has served as a critical space to discuss issues around inclusion, trans rights, mental health, and self-worth. And this message couldn't be more important as the LGBTQ+ community continues to fight for equality and acceptance. The world needs more love, and yes, more RuPaul. I want to thank RuPaul Charles for his years of leadership in our community and his activism. This Pride season, as we recommit to celebrating diversity, difference, and self-love, we must always remember what RuPaul so famously says. If you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Thank you, and I yield back.
All right, there you go. That's the business of the Democrats on the floor of the House of Representatives. We are going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to try to bring you up to speed on what's happening right now between the House Freedom Caucus and Kevin McCarthy. They are enraged. They're saying that McCarthy has gone back on his word, and Matt Gaetz has just announced that they are considering shutting down committee work. And that's because the Freedom Caucus has seized the floor from the speaker. So a question that we all may need to be considering here in the next few days, should Kevin McCarthy remain as Speaker of the House? 844-747-8868. And if not McCarthy, who would you put in there? If they boot McCarthy, they're going to have somebody else. Who would you recommend? 844-747-8868. Again, our toll-free telephone number. And be sure to check out ToddStearns.com as well. We'll be right back, America.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
All right, folks, let me give you an update on what's happening up on Capitol Hill. And God bless the House Freedom Caucus. So, look, their numbers may be small, but they are powerful. And here's the reason why. So right now, the House Freedom Caucus literally can control the flow of legislation moving through the House. And Freedom Caucus members are very upset. They believe Kevin McCarthy went back on his word when it came to the debt ceiling. And that's what this is really about here. People are the Freedom Caucus guys are very upset about this, the $4 trillion debt ceiling increase. And they are now saying we're not going to go any further until we get these issues addressed. Now, Chad Pergram from over at Fox, one of the good guys over there, that it could become so severe that the House could send members home for the week, because they're not getting any work done. And none will get done until these issues are addressed. Now, there was a vote yesterday, and one of the reasons they're upset, in addition to the debt ceiling, is that Congressman Andrew Clyde, and we have a lot of listeners in Georgia, and Congressman Clyde, who's been a regular guest on this program, was hauled in and read the riot act by Republican leadership. And he was told that unless he supported a procedural vote on the debt ceiling increase last week, that his bill to overturn the Biden regulation on pistol braces would not get a vote on the floor. Now, leadership denies this, all the Wall Street Journal reporting. Leadership denies that Clyde was threatened, but I believe Clyde. The man he's an honest broker. I believe him more than I would believe Kevin McCarthy on this. So we'll see how all this goes down. But right now, nothing is moving. Legislation has come to a halt. And Matt Gaetz and the Freedom Caucus guys are now in control of what's happening on the floor of the House of Representatives. The Wall Street Journal calls it basically an insurgency. The headline, Republican Insurgents Confront Speaker Kevin McCarthy. And I say good for them. And the question I have here, ladies and gentlemen, who do you support? Do you support the Freedom Caucus? We're talking about Chip Roy, Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert. Wow, what happened to Marjorie Taylor Greene? She and Kevin McCarthy are thick as thieves these days. MTG has completely turned her back on the conservative movement and has embraced Kevin McCarthy. And I don't know what is going on there. No idea. But as of Wednesday morning, the House schedule in limbo. So yesterday, they blocked a procedural vote. It's called the rule. And so that rule allows legislation, bills, to be brought to the floor. But now that the House Freedom Caucus has blocked that, and it's the first time they've done that since 2002, and if the rule doesn't pass, legislation won't proceed. It really is simple. So we'll see. We're going to be talking to Congressman Bob Good from Virginia a little bit later on, and we'll try to get some intel from him on where all of this is heading. But the question, very simple, do you support the Freedom Caucus or Kevin McCarthy? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, President Trump has a new ad out. It's called Wolves, cut number 11.
Here's a question for you. Just how far are the radical left and inside the Beltway bandits willing to go to stop him? We all know they hate him for winning the fight to protect life, for exposing their deep state, for draining their precious swamp. And they already know he'll crush Biden. So like a pack of rabid wolves, they attack. So let's impeach him. Let's get tainted radical left prosecutors to charge him. Let's conspire with Hillary and the FBI with fake stories about him. All to distract from Biden's incompetence, weakness, and money-grabbing corruption. But here's the thing. He'll never blink. That's called having the courage of your convictions. And it's why he's our president.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
All right. Good for you, the wolf. Oh, Chris Christie jumped into the race. Cannonball! Cut number one, please.
Beware of the leader in this country who you have handed leadership to, who has never made a mistake, who has never done anything wrong, who when something goes wrong, it's always someone else's fault, and who has never lost. I've lost. You people did that to me in 2016.
All right. So Christie announcing yesterday he's in the race. Tiny crowd in this town hall. Looked like it was an idol. The lighting was bad. And they had I think people were really more focused on the audience. There was one lady in particular who had the girls out and not quite sure what that was all about. But it was a little distracting. You know, you're trying to pay attention to Christie there. Trump issued a statement. And by the way, Christie says he's going to be the attack dog. His job, his only job in this race is to attack Donald Trump and destroy Donald Trump. That is his only goal here. He knows he doesn't have a shot at being president, but he does believe that he can damage Donald Trump and knock him out of the race. To that point, there is some new polling data coming out of Iowa where Trump is losing some ground to DeSantis, still up by 10, but DeSantis is gaining ground there. And head-to-head matchup, it looks like it really is neck and neck between DeSantis and Trump. So, look, we've got plenty of time and lots of polls, and those things are going to flip-flop all over the place. But DeSantis is gaining ground. Anyway, here's what Trump had to say about Chris Christie. How many times did Chris Christie use the word small? Does he have a psychological problem with size? Actually, his speech was small and not very good. It rambled all over the place. Nobody had a clue what he was talking about. Hard to watch, boring. That's what you get from a failed governor, New Jersey, who left office with a 7% approval rating and then got run out of New Hampshire. This time, it won't be any different. All right, there's Trump, and he and Christie are going to be going at it. Mike Pence jumping into the race, put out a video this morning, and everybody went back to sleep. We'll play some of that in the next hour. But Mike Pence going to be in Iowa, and he'll be doing some events and whatnot. So I have a question for you. Let's just, for the sake of the argument, let's have a little bit of fun here. Let's just say that Trump is not running. Who gets your vote in 2024? Is it Ron DeSantis? Is it Tim Scott? I honestly think Tim Scott is a more effective campaigner so far than Ron DeSantis is. Is it going to be Mike Pence? And by the way, all you evangelicals, all of you diehard evangelical Christians who accuse your fellow evangelicals of throwing their religion away to vote for Donald Trump, why aren't you supporting evangelical Mike Pence? Some might call that hypocrisy. I actually talked to an evangelical night before last, and this guy supporting Trump, or I'm sorry, DeSantis. And I said, well, why aren't you voting? Why aren't you voting for Mike Pence? I mean, you align with him on everything politically, philosophically, morally, from your religious vantage point. Why would you not support your fellow evangelical? You know, that was the whole thing with JFK, is that the Catholics voted for JFK because he was Catholic. So why would an evangelical not support an evangelical and instead support a Catholic? And he was very honest, and I appreciate his honesty. He said, because DeSantis actually has a shot at winning. And I replied, oh, so you're doing this not based out of some sort of a moral foundation. You're doing this out of political expediency. I just want to make sure we understand here. Because that's not how they played that game when Trump was the nominee. But anyway, I'm curious, who do you like? If it's not going to be Trump, who would you like it to be? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome. Glad to have you with us today. A lot going on. A lot. We are monitoring this crazy story out of Washington, where the House Freedom Caucus has shut down all business in the House. They are really upset with Speaker McCarthy, accusing the House Speaker of going back on his word on the debt ceiling agreement. And we're going to be checking in with a few members of the House Freedom Caucus a little bit later on. Right now, though, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker lines. Good to have our friend Jeff Kantz from WRVA, our great affiliate in Richmond, Virginia. Jeff, hope you're doing well.
I am, Todd. Great to be here.
And Mary Walter, the host of the Mary Walter Radio Podcast. Mary, hope you're doing good.
I'm doing fine. A little sniffly because of Canada. It's Canada's fault. So I'm a little sniffly and a little coffee and thick. So blame Canada. They're not my friends today.
So we got the illegals coming across our southern border up the wazoo. Yes. And now we've got the Canadian air. Coming across the northern border through our pie holes. This is not good.
No, we're under attack from all sides.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Jeff, by the way, good to see you last weekend at the Big Talkers gathering in New York City, or really Long Island, or wherever we were.
Yeah, it was wonderful to see you. Thoroughly enjoyed your remarks on owning and operating a station and the challenges that come along with it, but really, really informative, and a good group that showed up this year.
Mary, we missed you, I want to tell you, though, about the lunch, and Jeff Katz can testify to this. So we're in the chow line, and they have the napkins there. You know, everything is sponsored there. And, of course, we were at Starnes Media Group. We sponsored something as well. But we did not sponsor the napkins. That was Sean Hannity. And so, literally, it had the Sean Hannity logo on the napkins. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't quite sure what we were supposed to wipe with that thing. I felt awkward.
Ba-dum-bum. So back in the day when it was in, first of all, I did not go because anyone who lives in the Northeast will only drive out to Long Island if you are being kidnapped and someone's forcing you to do it at gunpoint. And even then, you could probably, since you'll be stuck in traffic for a good portion of the ride, you could just unlock the door and jump out. Until they move it, no. But when it was in Manhattan, it was a two-day event. It was really a lot of fun. It was quite the soiree with a lot of people. Sean Hannity used to sponsor an ice cream social after dinner the first night, which I can't remember if it was Thursday, Friday, or Friday, Saturday, but he would sponsor dinner, and then he did sponsored breakfast the next morning, and it was a champagne breakfast, so you got, like, the little flutes with his face on it. I still have them. I took one plastic. I was like my grandmother stuffing stuff in my purse for later. And I stuffed a Sean Hannity plastic champagne flute in my pocketbook.
You see, Kantz, I should have sponsored the food.
You should have.
Yes, you definitely should have sponsored the food. Number one, it would have been, it would have been far better. It would have had barbecue. It would have had probably some sort of banana pudding. And you know, Larry, those champagne flutes are numbered. And if it shows up on eBay, you are toast.
Wow. By the way, Kantz, it's pudding. You got to drop the G. Pudding. Banana pudding.
we'll work on it. Sometimes my inner Yankee comes out. I'm sorry.
I love it. Guys, let's talk about crazy story over at CNN where the new guy is now out. Chris Licht is his name. And I'm curious to get your take on this. And we're going to start with you, Mary. Do you think this is going to have any sort of an impact on the future over at CNN?
I actually love this. I'm going to be 400 pounds heavier by the time all of this left-right stuff finally evens itself out, because I just sit back, have a beer and some toasted cheese doodles. You know, like the good ones, not the puffy ones, the good ones. And I sit, so I'm eating a lot and drinking a lot of carbs. This is fantastic, because I wonder if he was just like, fine. You know what? You don't like the changes I made? You're going to throw your temper tantrums, your big bunch of babies. Can you imagine even working with those people, how high maintenance and whiny they are? So you've got that, and he's like, fine. You want to fail? Have at it. Daddy's leaving.
Yep.
And just let the inmates run the asylum, let the children have their temper tantrums, give the kiddies exactly what they want, and everybody's going to be unemployed. I would hope that that's the reason why he did it, and it's going to be so much fun to watch.
You see, Jeff, here's my take. I don't think he was all that bad. I think he came in and he understood immediately what was wrong with CNN, and he was trying to make some fixes. He was trying to bring some conservatives on board, Republican, you know, pundits. He brought the lawmakers on. And, of course, that huge Trump rally that actually beat, they had a larger audience than Fox did for their Trump rally or their town hall.
Yeah, Todd, I think you're spot on this, although I do enjoy the idea of the deep-fried cheese doodles. That is getting my attention at the moment. But, no, I think you're right. I think Chris Licht came in and said, look, guys, you've been the resistance. You're annoying everybody. Don Lemon annoys everybody, whether they work here or they don't work here. We've got to make some changes. And I think he showed them something they didn't want to see. They got tremendous ratings with the Trump town hall, and he showed them that you can get viewers, which means you get advertisers, which means that you guys continue to get paid on a regular basis, or you can go back to being the resistance, and I guess that's where they're headed. Although what's really interesting with him, this Atlantic piece seems to be what finally did him in after a year, and you have to wonder if that the last boss, what was it, Zucker, is somehow behind that little profile piece.
And, of course, he got rid of Lemon. He got rid of the Dwarf King, Brian Stelter. So my hat is off to him over that. I mean, that's worth the price of admission right there.
Yes,
he's more like Poppin' Fresh. He's like the Poppin' Fresh dough guy.
Hello.
Well, see, I always
I'm Brian Stelter.
Mr. Potato Head. My gosh, this is what we need a congregation to discuss. But you're right, Todd. Anybody that could say to Mr. Stelter, get out now, has my full admiration and everlasting love.
Jeff, this is Brian Stelter, and I just have to say that I'm very disappointed in you. All I had to do was watch CNN all the time, and then Fox News all the time, day after day after day. And this is my angry voice, Jeff. I'm angry at you. That guy creeped me out all the time.
Yeah, he was scary, scary dude.
Good Lord. All right, so so we don't know who they're. Well, they are going to bring in somebody who is already on faculty there at CNN, and she was responsible for their original CNN originals, which were actually making money. But again, there was so much of a far left narrative, they were unwatchable. Yep. I mean, they really are.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Anyway, Mary, who do you think winners and losers over this CNN shakeup?
Well, obviously, I think the employees ultimately lose. They think they're winning. They think, like, because they're all social justice warriors, and every day is a battle for them. They get out of bed every single day, put on their skinny jeans, you know, put their hair in a man bun, and that's their armor, and they're going to go out and fight the man. Well, they fought the man. Good for you. You're going to be unemployed. And I think what happens is ultimately these people have to be unemployed for a long period of time or continually before maybe the message sets in. And I don't know if it does, in all seriousness. I really don't know if it really ever does, or it's just like a lost generation that just never understands that, you know, their worldview isn't necessarily everyone's worldview. And until they get that memo or mommy and daddy stop paying their bills, it finally gets through to them.
You know, it's funny, Mary. I don't know that it ever does get through to them because, as you point out, they're social justice warriors. To them, the dreaded free market is of a precious little consequence because they're operating with trust funds to begin with. So they continue to go out there and they rail against what they perceive as evil and fascist and needs to be canceled in the name of free speech. Figure that one out. But I think as long as there is a lifeline to CNN, whether it's some left-wing generous donor that keeps them alive, I think they're going to be around for a while. It is funny, though, to watch a brand that at one time legitimately had a reputation for news and journalism at the very beginning. You remember Bernard Shaw and the rest of these guys. And now they're MSNBC with fewer letters. That's all that it is.
By the way, speaking of Ted Turner, back in the day, the founder of CNN, he is very unhappy, very disillusioned with all the turmoil over there. But really, up until he left, CNN was straight down the middle, and even their talk shows, fair and balanced. So there you go. By the way, so my winner and loser, well, I have a winner, and I think the winner is Newsmax. You know, they've been beating CNN. True. They've been beating CNN, guys, and if they go full-blown woke over there at CNN, then I think Newsmax is going to be able to make a play and become the third most watched cable news channel.
That's a great point.
I think you're probably right. I think if Chris Ruddy has his druthers, man, he ought to be writing up the operating plan for CNN, because what they're doing right now, you're right, benefits Newsmax, legitimate news organization, providing context and facts, and I think that's a beautiful thing, and there's definitely an avenue for that.
All right, Jeff Katz, Mary Walter, moving on to another big story. Yesterday, huge clashes between Armenian-American dads and pro-gay activists out in Glendale, California, of all places. They're enraged because of the LGBT curriculum that's being introduced in the classrooms. In other areas, including Maryland, you have Muslim parents that are going to battle over the LGBT issues. Mary Walter, I think this may be the best bet, is let the Christians and the Jews, you just take a break and let the Muslims take care of this.
Well, I have a friend who is Armenian. She married into an Armenian family, and then you just become Armenian. There's just nothing else. So their kids went to Armenian school. It's a very, very, very tight-knit community, and they are very conservative. But I've said since the beginning of the pandemic that the gift of COVID was parents were actually starting to pay attention to what their kids learned in school. And it doesn't matter. We saw it in Virginia. It doesn't matter whether you have a D or an R after your name. When you come from my kid, none of that matters. And this is where Democrats, they so often overplay their hand. They miscalculated fantastically on this. They did not see this coming. I think they just thought that everybody would just say, oh, okay, or because I'm a union guy, it's all right, I'm going to accept this. And that's not how it's playing out. So, and I it got violent, and the media is actually having to report that it got violent. And the reason it got violent was because Antifa showed up. Not because the Armenians were the ones who were violent, but the Democrat thugs showed up. The brown shirts came dressed in black bloc. The only thing that's changed is the color of the clothing they wear. And they started the violence. It's all, you know, more and more and more, the shroud is dropping, and we're starting to see the operation for what it really is. So I think that's great what's happening. And my money's on the Armenians and the Muslims, 100%.
Yeah. Jeff Katz.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, we saw it here in Virginia, and it was, I'm very happy to say, very proud to say, it was my program. We began We the Parents. And after Terry McAuliffe stood up and said, hey, you parents, shut up, sit down, leave education to the pros, leave it to us, leave it to the American Federation of Teachers, the NEA, we'll take care of everything, and then doubled down and then tripled down, all of a sudden, Todd, Mary, we saw parents across our Commonwealth, Democrats, Republicans, short, tall, liberal, because everybody said, hey, listen, I may vote this way on a lot of stuff, but don't mess with my kids. Yeah. And the leftists have really overplayed their hand. It is about indoctrination. Those of us who had children in schools, we did watch over their shoulders during COVID. We got a glimpse of what the heck was being pushed, and there are a lot of angry, moms and dads. And I think the lesson is don't mess with the angry moms and dads.
There you go. Finally, guys, and we're going to have to leave it here. The most beautiful woman in California could be a man. Miss San Francisco a dude who his name is Monroe Lace, and he was crowned Miss San Francisco and will compete next month in the Miss California pageant, which is the feeder to the Miss America.
Am I the only person who thinks there's a camera somewhere recording all of this?
You've been punked, but we have it, right? It's all true. It's a sad, sad state of affairs.
And I got to tell you, not exactly a looker, this one. I'm like, really? I mean, no offense here, but, you know, we've got the picture.
Todd, yes. How dare you be so sexist and judge a woman based solely on the quality of her beard?
You're darn. On that note, Mary, Jeff, I always appreciate you guys. Great wisdom and wit, as always.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, my friend.
No, geez, Alou. All right, we got to take a break here. Mary Walter, and we have links to Mary's podcast and our good friend Jeff Katz, who handles Afternoon Drive, number one talk radio host in Richmond over at WRVA. All right, 844-747-8868. We are going to the phones coming up next. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Folks, let's head over to the phone lines. 844-747-8868 is our number. William in North Carolina. Hey, William, what's on your mind?
Good Wednesday afternoon to you, Todd. It's William here. If it's not going to be Donald Trump, it's got to be Mike Pence, and here's why. He's already been up there. He's got some experience, and I think he would be second in line as far as trying to handle all the nonsense that's going on up there in Washington, D.C., and has been going on for longer than I've been living. But nonetheless, he could take DeSantis with him for VP, and so he can get some experience because he's been a damn good governor, excuse my language, a darn good governor in Florida. So I think he would be a good president someday, but now's not the time. So get him up there, get some experience under his belt, and then we'll see if we can get him in there for 4 years or 8 years. But it's got to be Pence if it ain't Donald Trump.
You know, I like Mike Pence. I really do. There was a big issue, though, and I think a lot of evangelicals took issue with what he did back when he was governor of Indiana. He signed a religious freedom measure in his state, but then the full wrath of the LGBT movement showed up at his front door. And he ended up backtracking on it, and he waffled, and it really angered a lot of evangelicals. And of course, that all went away when he became Trump's running mate. But I'm not sure. I don't know if evangelicals are willing to give him a second shot.
I understand, Todd. I
don't know
with you, but I agree with you. But I just think here's my thing with it. With this country, we need to get safe again.
Yes,
and
we do.
The rest of it can come into play after we get safe again. It's almost like, you know, common sense, Todd, you know, protect the First Amendment and then protect the Second Amendment. And sometimes we need to reverse that. Do the Second Amendment first and then do the First Amendment second. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. No, it does make sense, William, and I appreciate the call. We're running up against a break here. But again, folks, William says, if it's not going to be Trump, Mike Pence officially announced today he'll be holding some rallies in Iowa. 844-747-8868. What do you say? That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back, America. All right. right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Real quick, let's go to the phones. Ann is in Maine listening to us on WLOB. And we've been asking a question, just hypothetically, if Trump's not going to run, or if Trump is not in the race, who's your next choice? Ann, who do you like?
Well, I don't know who I like. I only like Trump and all the people who are challenging him, like Mike Pence. I would never vote for Mike Pence. He looks like a weak man. He acts like a weak man. And you just pointed out that when he took a stand against LGBTQXYZ, and then when it came down to a vote, he pivoted. I don't think he'd be a very good choice at all. I would be against him. And Chris Christie is worse. And then I don't like the woman. What's
Nikki Haley?
Yeah, Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley.
No, these are all people who are not loyal, and not one of them would be anywhere without Donald Trump. I mean, she's a crass opportunist, Nikki Haley. She's just going for the honor of having run against Donald Trump or something. No, none of the people so far would I vote for.
All right. So, Ann, we've got you down. You're rock solid Donald Trump. And we appreciate you calling in, and thank you for listening. We love our good friends in Ray Richardson country up there. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line real quick. We are honored to have a gentleman by the name of Trent Staggs. Mr. Staggs is serving as mayor of Riverton, Utah, and he is a businessman born and raised in Utah, and he gained a little bit of fame back in 2020 when he asked the city police not to enforce COVID mandates or enforce business closures, and now he is taking on Willard Mitt Romney, and he's become my favorite candidate. Mr. Staggs, good to have you with us today.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on. I'm glad I'm your favorite candidate.
This needs to happen, and I'm wondering, what is the strategy here? Is it possible to take on and beat Mitt Romney?
It is possible. It's going to require a lot of help. We've already had thousands and thousands of people at TrentStaggs.com that have gone there to help volunteer, to donate. But look, as you indicated, I'm an authentic Utahn, lifelong Utahn, from elementary school to graduate school. Served my community the last 10 years. Yeah, business, operated several businesses, and took a company public on NASDAQ last year. So we've got quite a contact and network throughout the state. I've already been endorsed by scores of elected officials. We should have 100 plus by the end of the month. We received the endorsement of the Fraternal Order of Police, which is somewhat unprecedented for them to come out this early and support. And so we've got quite the coalition that we're building. And we continue, we just started. I mean, we just announced candidacy 2 weeks ago. So this has been pretty overwhelming response.
This is pretty significant, and you are getting some major endorsements. Are people just tired of Mitt Romney? What is it they don't like about Mitt Romney?
Well, I think in Utah, you know, it's a couple of things. People really feel like, he's not originally from Utah. He's from Massachusetts, obviously, and people gave him the benefit of the doubt, big name ID back in 2018. And it's in my launch video. We have his commercial from 5 years ago that said, if you elect me as your senator, I will put us on a pathway to a balanced budget. I'll end illegal immigration. I'll stop federal overreach and spending, and I'll appoint conservative justices to the court. And obviously, he hasn't done that. In fact, he's done, I would argue, just the opposite. Voted for trillions more in spending. Wouldn't support our other great senator, Mike Lee, in really trying to rein in this administration and not being willing to lift the debt ceiling without substantial spending cuts and budget reforms. So he's been completely absent there. He's supported one of the few Republicans that supported Homeland Secretary Mayorkas and his appointment. He's been a complete disaster on the border. He didn't help at all when President Trump was in office to try to protect the border. And, most recently, the appointment of Ketanji Brown Jackson, an incredibly radical Supreme Court judge. So he's not representing Utahns, definitely not the Republicans in the state. He votes 60% plus of the time with Biden. And I think people have just, you know, they just had enough.
Yeah, I'm looking at some polling data. The Salt Lake Tribune has a story up, and they're saying lukewarm favorability rating of 51% statewide. And among Republican voters, 47% view him unfavorably, and a quarter of GOP voters have a very negative impression of him. Do you think that's because of his, really, his hatred of Donald Trump?
That weighs into it. The fact that he just doesn't seem to be there. I mean, on the key issues, you know, we want and we need in D.C. more than ever now a fighter, somebody who's a bold conservative that's going to fight back on big government. And he just hasn't done that. I like to say, you know, our progressives, the so-called progressives, are driving the car off the cliff, and he's either asleep at the wheel or helping them steer. It's just, we need somebody who's a bold conservative fighter. I've demonstrated that in the entirety of my career, and especially in the 10 years in elected office. You mentioned pushing back on the mask mandate. So I like to say, as a mayor, I'm on the front lines of federal overreach or government overreach, federal, state, county levels. I've demonstrated that. It's time to take this fight to D.C. and finally have another senator who's going to fight on behalf of conservatives in our great state.
And I think we have to. And I don't know what has happened to Mitt Romney. I don't know if he's always been like this, if he's tried to be conservative. I don't know. But it's not working. And I don't think that he has represented the state of Utah very well in the U.S. Senate. And you're right. I think we do need a rock-solid conservative who is going to stand up, and if nothing else, stand up for fiscal responsibility, Mr. Mayor Staggs.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, this country at $32 trillion in debt, and, you know, Mitt Romney being part of this debt deal, he tweeted out that this is good for the country, quote unquote. And I had responded, in no way, shape, or form is adding $4 trillion more in debt good for the country. We need somebody that's really going to rein in spending and just federal overreach, something he said he would do. He has not done. I have actually done that. I've, in my community, in my city, we've cut taxes. We've innovated in government to lower spending and actually provide higher levels of service. It can be done. The same principles apply. We just need people that have demonstrated that competence and have a proven conservative background in D.C. We need to send a fighter there. And I think that I am that person. And what I've been hearing from folks and given the support that we've received just over the last couple of weeks, it's very, very encouraging. So we'll get there.
All right. Well, Mr. Mayor, we're going to get you back on between now and the primaries, and we wish you the very best of luck out there. TrentStaggs.com, ladies and gentlemen, the website. We have a link to it on our live show blog. That's Staggs with two G's, one S. Mayor, thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. There you go. Trent Staggs. He is running for the U.S. Senate. He wants to take on Mitt Romney in the Republican primary. And I say good luck and let's go, Trent Staggs. All right. Before we go to the break, I want to go to Christine listening to us in Washington. And Christine, we've been talking about candidates. And if it's not going to be Trump, who would be your pick for the White House?
Well, I love Trump to pieces, would vote for him in a heartbeat, but if anything happens and he can't run, it would be Tim Scott. I think Tim Scott should be Trump's running mate for vice president. And Tim Scott, he doesn't say anything mean about anybody else. He's right up front, tells how he feels. He really sticks to his guns about everything. He's not a warmonger. He's very diplomatic. I don't know. I just really like him.
Well, Christine, we've got you down. So Tim Scott is your guy if Trump does not run and you'd like to see him as a VP. I think that'd be a strong ticket. I really do. And I think that Tim Scott has a lot of potential. We'll see how it plays out. Christine, thank you for the call, and thank you for listening in the beautiful state of Washington. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Folks, I got to tell you, Newsmax, I don't know how they're doing it. It's like day after day, more and more people are tuning in to Newsmax. Eric Bolling Show, we've told you this, up over 200% in the ratings ever since Tucker got fired. Every night, Newsmax introduces a powerful lineup. Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, Chris Plant. Americans are turning to Newsmax for real news you can trust. And folks, they really are. Eric Bolling all this week has been talking about Joe Biden's mental health. Is he really fit to be president? And what are the dangers of all of that? You got to watch the show. It's 8 o'clock Eastern. Newsmax is now America's fastest growing cable news channel, and you can find it on all major cable systems. Also, do what I did. Download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. You can start watching anytime because Newsmax is real news for real people. All right. Good to have you back with us. By the way, we have a, where is, hold on, I'll find this story. Okay. Ah, yes, here we go. Big controversy in New York City. By the way, that's where they are now inviting private homeowners to house illegals in their spare bedroom. And I think they get $1,000 a month or something per illegal? So I'd be stuffed. I mean, I'd stuff the bedroom, you know, get some bunk beds, stick as many in there as possible. Jeez, Lou. Anyway, let's say you have a hankering for some, I don't know, crack cocaine. And you're wandering around New York City and you come across a vending machine. And in the vending machine, you got the Flamin' Hot Cheetos, and you got the crackers, the peanut butter crackers, and you got my favorite, the Nutter Butters. And then you can get yourself a crack pipe. So I'm not making this up. So in New York City, now you got to pay for the Nutter Butters and you got to pay for the Flamin' Hot Cheetos, but you can get the crack pipe free of charge, courtesy of the American taxpayers. Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee is enraged over this. She can't believe that they're literally giving drug addicts crack pipes out of vending machines. Cut number six, please.
All right. Let's say you had $11,000 and you were going to spend it on a vending machine. Would you put crack pipes and lip balm that's going to be given out free of charge? Well, that is what we hear they're doing in New York City. You cannot make this up.
No, you can't make it up. And they're doing the same thing in other large cities controlled by the Democrats. Yeah, it's insane. It is insanity. There you go. I have a question. Would you house illegals in your home? That's a question. I mean, look, they're going to pay you for it. You're going to be getting government cash if you sign up for this. And by the way, it's not just private residences, but they're also asking churches if they would consider, because they say they're running out of beds, and they don't know what to do. So the question, ladies and gentlemen, would you allow illegals to stay in your spare bedroom? Or maybe you could gussy up your garage. And if you're really getting that much money per person, and what is it, $1,000? I think it's $1,000 a month per person. I mean, look, that can add up. You get four or five. I mean, that's pretty crazy. Oh, here we go. Every night that they're housed, it's going to cost the city about $125 a day. Now, I don't know if you have to, do you have to feed them? I don't think so. I think they're responsible for their own food. But, you know, you can always get one of those little fridges. I mean, if you're making, let's just say you've got a big house and you want to house, you know, 10 illegals. That's what, $10,000 a month that you're making. I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good income. if you think about it. Mayor, I'm sorry, I keep calling him Mayor Pete, but he's not Mayor Pete anymore. He's TransSec Pete Buttigieg, our transportation secretary. We call him TransSec here. It's a term of respect. Anyway, Pete Buttigieg is now tying girls playing boys in sports to opposing the infrastructure law. Cut number 12.
Well, our country is at very real risk of backsliding on freedom and equality, but that is exactly why we continue to push. There has been extraordinary work that's been done just in this presidency, certainly the president being able to sign the Respect for Marriage Act, for example, and if you zoom out to the progress that's been made in the last 10 or 15 years, including the ability of somebody like me to be standing here doing this job, it's extraordinary. And yet now you see the attacks on the LGBTQ community, especially on the trans community, and what they are going through. And, you know, I think it's being done out of a perception that it is politically convenient to target vulnerable groups. And honestly, I think where it largely comes from is folks who don't want to talk about why they were against the infrastructure law that's building the roads and bridges.
You know, I don't want to psychoanalyze TransSec Pete Buttigieg, but I just want to throw this out there. Do you think that maybe there's a part of him that is angry that he was not able to physically give birth to his kids, or that he was not physically able to breastfeed his kids? Do you think there might be some part of him that is, he's angry at God over that kind of thing? I mean, otherwise, I don't understand why in the world he would endorse men competing in women's sports. I just don't get it. But I don't want to psychoanalyze. I can't read the guy. Let's go to beautiful Cordova, Tennessee. Susan is listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hey, Susan, what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. It enrages me that they are asking people to open up their home to the illegals. I am an immigrant, but I've been here such a long time, I don't even have an accent. I can speak, I'm bilingual. And our taxpayer dollar is going to go to house illegals. They trashed places in New York. I don't want my house trashed. Plus, it's a safety issue. You can't pay me enough to house someone that broke the law to come into this country and then wants to stay at my house. No, not at all.
Yeah, Susan, it's a head scratcher. I don't know any person in their right mind that would do that. And honestly, most of the homes in New York City are called apartments, and they're about 500 to 600 square feet. There's not a lot of room. So I'm not quite sure where they plan on stuffing everybody, but there you go. Susan, good hearing from you. Thank you for calling in. 844-747-8868. That is our phone number. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. This is a weird story. Now, many of you know that we broadcast our program from our studios here in Memphis, Tennessee, and we're just getting some word here, and this is going to impact a lot of people on Interstate 40. This is weird. We have two major bridges across the Mississippi River. Both of them are shut down right now, the Interstate 40 bridge and the I-55 bridge. So I know this is other people's traffic, but we have a lot of listeners in the Mid-South and in Western Tennessee and over in Arkansas. And so, long story short, if you're in West Memphis, Arkansas, you are stuck there. If you're in Memphis, Tennessee, you are stuck there. So good luck to you. But apparently traffic is an absolute mess out there right now. All right, speaking of absolute messes, let's talk about Washington, D.C. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, good friend of this program from Virginia's 5th Congressional District, Congressman Bob Good. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Doing great, Todd. Hope that you're well. Thanks for having me again.
I am. Congressman, real quick, we've been following the developments involving the House Freedom Caucus and the Speaker of the House. And right now, I guess it's gridlock. Can you explain what's going on and why nothing is moving right now with legislation?
Well, in response to the $4 trillion debt increase that we passed last month, of course, I voted against that, as did 70 of my colleagues, which was a breach of the agreement under which Speaker McCarthy became the speaker back in January. For those who were part of negotiating, voting for him as speaker, that $4 trillion, or unconditional, frankly, debt ceiling increase was a breach of that agreement. It was a breach of the principles and the policies that were agreed to for us to move together as a united Republican conference. Frankly, a unity that was on display for almost 5 months before that vote in the House last week. You know, that was, again, an unconditional, essentially, debt ceiling increase that maintained all the Biden level of spending, which is the most egregious, most excessive, most wasteful, most reckless spending in the history of the country. And frankly, there was dishonesty about what was the content of the bill in order to try to sell the bill to the membership, to sell it to the media, to sell it to the country. It essentially keeps spending flat with no real cuts or reforms. But beyond that, it just broke the coalition that had been forged together, the governing coalition, the Republican Party, that was evidenced by the Limit, Save, Grow bill, the Parents' Bill of Rights, the energy bill that we passed, and, you know, the D.C. crime bill that got signed into law, my bill overturning this student loan transfer scheme, those sorts of things. And then there was retaliation against members voting against the rule for the bill.
And that's Congressman Andrew Clyde. Congressman Clyde, who's a regular on this program.
Yes, and beyond it just being retaliation for a member doing what he or she thought was right in voting against the rule, the procedural rule before the actual debt limit vote, which, by the way, 29 of us voted against, including Mr. Clyde and myself, and that made Speaker McCarthy has to go to Democrats to get votes to advance the rule. But the bill that he was told as a consequence of voting against the rule that we would not bring to the House floor for a vote, his very important bill, that protecting the rights of gun owners to have pistol stabilizing braces, and that was pulled from the floor. And he went public, frankly, as you know, with that information, and then, long story short, after a few days of back and forth, that bill is now scheduled for a vote on Tuesday. But that was an important step to get that bill back to the floor for a vote, scheduled for a vote on Tuesday. Hopefully it'll pass, and we're told that some of the senators on the Democrat senators will vote for it as well, I suppose because of reelection aspirations in Montana, West Virginia, and Arizona. But more importantly, we've got to revisit what we stand for as a conference, what policy we're going to pursue, what conservative policies, how are we going to cut spending, not if we're going to cut spending, but how we're going to cut spending, how much we're going to cut spending. The country's teetering, Todd, as you know. We are on the brink, and the only hope politically is the Republican Party being the Republican Party and doing the things the American people elected us to do. And that's what this is about right now. We put the brakes on the House floor with voting against the rule yesterday to say, hey, we're not going to go along just to get along and not do the things we committed that we were going to do when we ran for reelection and when we got the majority and when we moved together with the Speaker.
So Congressman, what is the end game here? What are you guys hoping happens as a result of putting the brakes on everything?
Well, part of the justification for the bill last week was, you know, hey, we're just going to raise the debt ceiling, but we're going to really use the appropriations process, the budgetary process, the spending process to attack the spending. So we're going to see what we can do to force that to happen, to get commitments to that effect on the appropriations bills. But also there were other things that were committed back in January, things like putting out a balanced budget, a budget that would balance in 10 years, a vote on the floor for a balanced budget. That's been cast aside, has not happened. That there would be a vote on term limits, that's been cast aside, that has not happened. There was also a commitment from the Speaker that we would move forward with impeachment of Secretary Mayorkas. Matter of fact, during the week of January, when you heard, oh, this is really ruining our agenda because we're taking a few days to decide the speaker vote, one of the examples of the thing, oh, we can't go after impeaching Mayorkas because we haven't voted in a speaker yet, which, of course, is not true. The committees were not prohibited from that. That was a strategic decision to keep the committees from being assigned. So we have just got to come back together, recommit on what we're going to pursue as a conference, because we're not going to – we need action. Not acting, you know, not words, but actually action that moves the country forward from a fiscal standpoint, from a, you know, they want to vote on the RAINS Act now after we took it out of the Failed Responsibility Act. We could have used the leverage of the debt ceiling to force the RAINS Act. And the RAINS Act, of course, being that bill that requires a congressional vote on every major rule or regulation that's passed by the agencies and departments, the unelected bureaucrats, which cost, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars a year, trillions of dollars over time, that would require congressional members to go on record either overturning or affirming any major rule or regulation. That could have been in the – it was in the Limit, Save, Grow bill, but that was something that could have been kept in the Failed Responsibility Act. And now we want to have a floor vote on it. Yesterday, it was going to be a show vote. You know, we passed it out of the House as a messaging bill. Said, look, we stand for this, but we didn't have the resolve to keep it in the Failed Responsibility Act, and we had the leverage of the debt ceiling. Democrats will never willingly cut spending. You've got to be willing to use government shutdowns or the debt ceiling on every other means at your disposal.
All right. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Congressman Bob Good, and Congressman, real quick, of course, a victory for you. The Senate passed your bipartisan resolution to stop President Biden's student loan transfer scheme. You got to feel very happy about that.
Very much so. We got it to the House floor, the Congressional Review Act, which it's a law that allows you to overturn something that that you believe the executive branch does not have the authority to do. It's a privilege motion. So it passed out of the House on a bipartisan basis with two or three Democrats. It passed out of the Senate with, I think it was three Democrats as well. And so the president has threatened to veto it. But it's interesting. He himself said he didn't have the authority to do it a year ago. Speaker Pelosi said she didn't have the authority. He didn't have the authority to do it a year ago. His own education secretary said it. And yet he did it anyway, knowing he didn't have that constitutional authority. Supreme Court is looking at it, may overturn it. But we didn't want to wait and depend on the Supreme Court. We're taking action as a Congress. And hopefully the president will think better of it, because it's not his correct. He doesn't have constitutional authority to spend hundreds of billions of dollars, not to mention the fact that it's immoral to make people who didn't borrow that money have to pay for it.
All right. Well, good stuff there. And, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Good luck. All eyes certainly are going to be on Washington, D.C. to see how this standoff gets resolved.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be with you.
All right. Congressman Bob Good out of the Commonwealth of Virginia, ladies and gentlemen. And again, no legislation is moving, a great big political traffic jam right now. And the House Freedom Caucus says, you know what? Kevin McCarthy is not living up to his promises. So if, in fact, that is the case, is it not time to go ahead and vacate the chair? I mean, you can pull these stunts, and I don't know what's going to come out of all of that. But at the end of the day, you have the votes to vacate the chair. So maybe it's time for the House Freedom Caucus to pull the trigger on that. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Holy cow. This is a crazy story over in Memphis. Both major bridges across the Mississippi River have been shut down. Traffic is starting to trickle now on both bridges, but the backup is hours. This is insane. So they got a report that some moron was on a beam underneath the bridge. Nobody knows how the guy got there, but they can't find the guy. So they had to haul out all of this massive equipment, and they were looking under the bridge to see if the guy was there. This all happened. It started early this morning, And this has been going on all day. It's insane. But traffic, if you travel on I-40 or I-55 through Arkansas and Tennessee, you're not going anywhere fast. But now they don't know who the person is. They think it just may be somebody. But now they can't find the person. So the question now is, did the guy fall into the river? We don't know. But if you're in Memphis and you're stuck in all of this, give us a call. We'd like to know what's happening out there. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I guess you could just pull off and go to the brand new casino there in West Memphis. They've got a great buffet. I think, what is it? Today is what, Wednesday? That could be crab night. I don't know, crab legs. You never know. So, you know, what does it make chicken salad out of? Well, that's the saying. All right, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So I want to go to this story involving the L.A. Dodgers. You know, they're going to be celebrating this anti-Catholic hate group. And the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And so one of the players, Clayton Kershaw, is a Christian man. And he actually posted this letter, and this letter circulated, and he was really upset with the Dodgers. I mean, he plays for the Dodgers. So the question was, is he actually going to play on June 16th when they honor this anti-Catholic, anti-Christian hate group? And he's been catching all sorts of you-know-what. People are calling for him to be fired, to be removed from Major League Baseball. They say that Christians who do not affirm the gay lifestyle should not be allowed to play Major League Baseball. And so now words come out that Mr. Kershaw is in fact going to play on June 16th. In other words, he caved into the mob. Now, I'm going to say something, and I am not defending Mr. Kershaw here. And I can't. Part of me wants to, but I just can't. And here's the reason why. You got to stand up. You got to man up. And I'm telling you, this LGBT mob, the human rights campaign, a vicious, godless hate group, they will try and destroy you. They are mean and nasty. They will spew lies about you. They will call your place of employment. They will try to erase you from the face of the earth. That's how bad these people are. And it is a horrible thing to be attacked by these people. But you got to stand your ground. You got to stand your ground. And if you don't stand your ground, then shame on you. It is time to man up, America. And Mr. Kershaw, you got a pretty sweet gig over there. You get paid millions of dollars to play a game. Well, this is no game, sir. You got to stand your ground. And you know what? We stood our ground. And yeah, I've taken a lot of punches over the years. But you know what? We're still standing. So be men of integrity, men of America, and stand your ground. Don't cower. Don't surrender to the bullies. This is a fight worth fighting. And I want you to hear that from me. So I'm disappointed in this fella. I really thought that maybe we finally had a guy who was willing to stand up to the mob in Major League Baseball. But it is what it is. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Terry in Kansas listening to us on our powerful affiliate out there, KQAM. Hi, Terry. What's on your mind?
Oh, thanks for having me, Todd. And, I want Captain Kirk for president.
As in the leader of the Starship Enterprise, William Shatner, or Captain Kirk the character?
Well, William Shatner, heck, he's 94, and he beats all these guys out on doing things.
Isn't that true? You know, he is in his 90s. The guy doesn't look like he's in his 90s. Doesn't act like he's in his 90s.
He ain't stopping.
All right, so you like Captain Kirk. I love it.
I mean, better than an idiot from New Jersey.
Hold on, I'm trying to think. Which idiot from New Jersey? Oh, you mean Chris Christie. Yes.
I mean, that's all we need is another Garfield in there.
Or really Chester. Actually, I think you mean Chester A. Arthur. No, you do mean Garfield. Yes. Chester A. Arthur. I'm trying to remember which one. Him. Oh, no. It was William Howard Taft. He's the guy that got stuck in the tub. Yeah, he was how shall I say this diplomatically? A well-rounded.
Rather robust.
I love it. Corn-fed. There you go. All right, Terry. Well, I appreciate that. So we've so far, ladies, thank you for that call. So far, folks say if Trump's not going to run, we've got a vote for Pence, a vote for Tim Scott, and a vote for Captain Kirk of the Starship Enterprise. I don't know. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, I have to tell you, we are huge fans of Patriot Mobile here. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. And one of the best things about Patriot Mobile is they put their money where their mouth is. They are out there fighting in these school board races. They are standing up for the pro-life movement. They are standing up for the Second Amendment. But the best part of it all, they really have a great wireless service. They really do. They have coverage that matches the big guys, and they have incredible prices that just can't be beat. It doesn't matter if you are a business, you want something for your residents, Patriot Mobile is going to be able to help you out and get this, folks. If you're a veteran or a first responder, Patriot Mobile, they're going to give you even bigger discounts. All right, check them out, patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Use my first name, Todd. They're going to give you some great discounts. Got to take a break here, folks. We'll be right back. Man, this situation in New York City, this is insane. I'm looking at photographs of the skyline and the George Washington Bridge. You can't see anything. It's just orange. It's a part of this smoke. I mean, it looks like India. The visuals coming out of New York City are just unbelievable. So they're saying this is all because of smoke from a Canadian fire, and it is causing some massive air quality issues. We understand the FAA has now issued a ground stop because of the smoke. In other words, no flights going into, no flights coming out of New York City Airport. So that is not a good situation. You can expect some incredible delays. I'm curious, any of our listeners, we understand parts of New England, so that would involve listeners up in the great state of Maine, if you guys are starting to see this smoke infiltrating your airspace. Blasted Canadians. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868, James in North Carolina. Hi, James, what's on your mind today?
How you doing, Todd? Can you hear me?
James, what's on your mind, sir?
James Comey is building a house in Emerald Isle. My buddy's working on it. He said that he bought a $1.6 million house and tore it down. Now he's building about a $4 or $5 million house down there. And he said half of the people that the contractor hired don't want to work on it because they know it's James Comey's house.
Is that right? Now, this is in North Carolina. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Emerald Isle, North Carolina, right on the beach.
Wow. And so, man, who in their right mind would tear down a million-dollar house just to build another million-dollar house?
Well, he tore down $1.6 million and built a $4 million house.
Of course he did. A $4 million house. Wow.
With our money.
Unbelievable. It's amazing how a guy can afford that, seeing how he worked for the government, for the FBI.
And what the funny part about it is the people didn't want to work on it when they found out whose house it was.
Is that right? So what are they doing? Did they find people? I mean, are they building the house?
Oh, yeah, they're building the house. My buddy was working on it. He said the guy had to beg him to come do the work. Because then they found out whose house it was.
Well, I hope your buddy was charging an arm and a leg.
Well, I can't say that because I don't want to get him in trouble.
All right.
But I had no idea. And I guess they told him not to tell anybody about it. People working on it.
Wow. So Jim Comey, ladies and gentlemen, from what James is telling us, building a multi-million dollar house there in North Carolina. Moving to your neck of the woods, North Carolina. How about that? All right. Well, James, appreciate that intel, and we're going to look into that. That's insane. So Mike Pence, making it official, and just a little while ago, gave a speech, and he used part of his campaign launch to address, he's in Iowa, by the way, and he said this, it might be fair to ask why I'm challenging my former running mate. Let me say from my heart, it begins with a promise I made to the American people and to Almighty God, and it ends with a different vision for the future, our nation, and our party. J6 was a tragic day in the life of our nation, but thanks to the courage of law enforcement, the violence was quelled, and we reconvened the Congress the very same day to complete the work of the American people, blah, blah, blah. As I've said many times on that fateful day, President Trump's words were reckless. They endangered my family and everyone at the Capitol. But the American people deserve to know that on that day, President Trump also demanded that I choose between him and the Constitution. Now voters will be faced with the same choice. I chose the Constitution, and I always will. He also said the Constitution does not grant him the power to reject electoral votes as Trump demanded him to do. He said he did his duty on that day. Do you think that settles it? Do you think that's it? Do you think the Republican voters are going to forgive Trump or forgive Pence for what he did or did not do on that day? And by the way, if he really believes us, if he really believes that President Trump endangered his family, and he's really not even saying that. You have to really parse words with these politicians. He's not saying that President Trump was reckless. He said President Trump's words were reckless, and he said President Trump's words endangered his family. I mean, if he really believes that, then why in the world is he not out there every single day calling out the president? I mean, if he really truly believes that, right? I mean, if somebody goes out there and does something that puts my family in danger, you better believe there's going to be you-know-what to pay. But that's not what's going on here. And it's really strange. So I just don't think Pence actually believes it. I mean, he's saying the words. I just don't think he believes it. So look, we had President Trump. We were talking about this whole issue with men playing in women's sports. And President Trump actually, we asked him about that during the interview we had earlier this week. Here is President Trump on the show, Cut 15. As president, how would you address that with the men wanting to play in the women's sports? How would you protect those biological women?
Well, I would end it. And, you know, women agree with me. It's not like, gee, this is a very strong position. No, I would end it. You can't have that. It's unfair. You see the records that are getting broken. They're being broken by numbers that would not be possible and nobody ever thought possible. I would not allow men to play in women's sports. And I think it's very demeaning to women. It's extremely demeaning to women.
All right. There you go. President Trump, he's going to play hardball here. And he says that that men have no business playing in women's sports. We also asked him about Mike Pence, and here's what he had to say about his former running mate. Cut number 16. What's your reaction to Mike Pence joining the race?
Well, I wish him a lot of luck. He's a nice person. We had a very good relationship until the very end. We had a very strong, nice relationship until the very end. I wish he would have put the votes back to the legislatures and legislators also. But I wish they would have gone back to the legislatures. I think you might have seen a different story. I actually think you would have seen a different story. So I wish you would have done that. We disagreed on that. I think I was right. I know I was right because after it was done, they went and changed the law so the vice president couldn't do it. You know, they had a big thing, Todd. You know that about the vice president has no choice. He has to do it. I said, I disagree with that. And then it turned out I was right because as soon as it was all over, they went out and changed the laws, saying that the vice president did, in fact, have the right to do it. And that's why they changed it, so that he couldn't do it. So we disagreed on that last moment in time on that very issue. And I wish he did that. And I think he'd be way up. I think he'd be doing much better in the polls. He possibly wouldn't. Frankly, he wouldn't be running. He wouldn't be running right now. I think that would have been a different result.
All right. There you go. A little bit of the interview we did with President Trump earlier this week on the program. Let's go to Ernie in North Carolina. Hey, Ernie, what you got for us?
Oh,
whoa, we got a bad phone connection there. Let's put Ernie on hold, and we'll get that all sorted out. In the meantime, we will take a break. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, many of you know, trying to cut down and doing a little bit of dieting, hitting the hitting the gym and the walking paths, and trying to lose a few pounds. And one of the ways I've been doing that is by taking Balance of Nature. Now, look, I am a very busy person. I suspect many of you are just as busy, and I don't have time to go grocery shopping all the time. And I certainly don't have time to load up the grocery cart with 31 different vegetables and fruits. So that's why I love Balance of Nature. You take you get a month's supply in these capsules, and it's really, really beneficial for me. And it's super simple. 31 fruits and veggies every time I open a monthly shipment from Balance of Nature. A few easy capsules pop in the mouth every day, and it's like a cornucopia of nutrition right in the palm of my hand. And it, and by the way, I've been taking it for a couple of months now, and I'm telling you, I can feel the difference. I have energy. I'm able to get out there, exercise. You just feel better. And I want you to feel the same way I do. And you can do that by going to balanceofnature.com. Use my discount code Todd, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to get 35% off your first order as a preferred customer. That's balanceofnature.com. You can order by phone by calling 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or you can go to balanceofnature.com. Shipping always free, and I love that about these guys. Balanceofnature.com. Use that discount code Todd. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us today. I want to share some breaking news coming out of New York City, our nation's largest city. The skyline is literally orange right now, and it's not the beautiful Tennessee Volunteer trademarked orange. No, this is a pretty nasty orange. This is coming from wildfire smoke from Canada, and it's a mess. This is nothing to play around with, and especially if you got the breathing problems, geez, Lou. Well, we now understand that the FAA has issued a ground stop at LaGuardia Airport because of all of the smoke. We also understand that there are major delays at Newark International Airport, and no word on JFK, which is a little further out. So it's about a 45-minute drive into the city. So far, everything looks okay there. But we're understanding even in places like Memphis, where the air quality is beginning to suffer because of the smoke coming down from these wildfires. Unbelievable right now. So be careful if you're out there. And if you're heading up into the Big Apple or anywhere along the eastern seaboard, you will probably have some delays. Wanted to give you an update also on this weird situation in Memphis. Both bridges over the Mississippi River have been closed for a good part of the morning and midday, and the traffic backup, it's hours. Those bridges carry about 40,000 vehicles a day, and they thought there was a bad accident. Somebody got killed on the I-55 bridge, and then I-40 they shut it down because they thought somebody was underneath the bridge. They'd had all these reports. They can't find anybody. So where did the guy go? Was he able to get off the bridge, or did he fall into the river? We don't know. So, but that's the folks over at KWAM on top of this story. I think they've been breaking into our show to give you guys updates. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Ernie in North Carolina. I hope we've got this worked out. What's going on?
Well, your previous caller hit me right between the eyes. I am a resident of Emerald Isle, North Carolina, where Jim Comey is building a $4 or $5 million home.
Is that right? So this is happening. This is the real deal.
Absolutely. And your caller was very accurate. People are buying houses on the beachfront worth $1 million and more and tearing them down and trashing them and putting up $4 or $5 million houses that aren't a whole lot better than what was there.
Wow. Are people angry? Or what's the reaction to locals that Jim Comey is going to be your neighbor?
Well, he'll be about two blocks from where I live. And I can't stand the vileness of that person that living near me. And I'll tell you what, God, I'm an older man. I'm almost 78 years old, and I still do electrical work. And I moved here when it was not real expensive, and they're trying to push people like me out. But I'll tell you what, I don't care how much that man would pay me if he needed my service, I would decline.
Wow. Good for you, Ernie. I mean, you're a man of integrity and principle. Good for you. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
I can just tell you, I am so disgusted that this guy made that kind of money. I know director of FBI makes money, but not that kind of money.
Not $4.6 million. No, no, you're absolutely right. Something's not right there.
Yeah, well, anyways, Todd, it's great to talk to you, and I just vent my anger that this person would choose to live here, but that's what people are doing, just exactly like your caller said. And I have the integrity not to work on that job.
Well, good for you, Ernie, and you call and vent anytime. We're a lot cheaper than therapy, so it'll make you feel a lot better. So appreciate you, sir. And God bless you and all the great patriots over there on Emerald Isle. Can you believe that? Can you imagine you've worked your whole life and you go out there? And I know exactly what Ernie's talking about. You know, these folks come in and they tear down the neighborhood and then they build up these McMansions and they shove the locals out. But to find out that your neighbor, your brand new neighbor, is Jim Comey, and even worse, his leftist wife and those daughters of his who are raging Hillary pink hat wearing lunatics. Wow. I feel bad for Ernie. I do. All right. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go back to some audio from President Trump talking about a potential running mate. And I asked him about Ron DeSantis. Here's what he had to say. Cut 18. Would you see, is there a way that DeSantis could end up as your running mate, or has that relationship been severed?
You know, I don't know. I don't like saying anything is like impossible, but it's pretty unlikely, I would think. It's, you know, I endorsed him. I got him elected. And then he did this. I was very surprised that he did. Without that, it would have been a distinct possibility. And people are getting to know him, and I will let you talk about whether or not they like him, but he certainly has gone down a lot in the polls, and I've gone way up. And we now have a very commanding lead, but, you know, leads can be broken. I've seen many times the leads get broken.
So he says it's pretty unlikely that he would pick DeSantis, but he's not ruling anything out. And notice that I asked specifically, and I was very careful with the words there, has the relationship been severed? And he said that, you know, he never wants to, he doesn't want to sever things. So there could be some wiggle room there. We'll have to wait and see. All right. Real quick. Let's go to North Carolina again. Michael wants to weigh in on Jim Comey. Hey, Michael, what you got for us?
Yes, Todd. I heard your previous callers talking about, in Lyle, well, me and my wife own a beach house down at Oak Island, and the real estate there is expensive too. And just because you have a $1.5 million house doesn't mean it's extravagant.
Well, I understand. No, I get it. I think the locals, though, in that area, are really frustrated.
Oh, and
You know, they feel like they're getting shoved out.
Oh yeah. I can feel their pain. I wouldn't want nobody like that living near me either. But
to your point, Michael, and I hate to do this, but we are coming up on the end of the show here. But to your point, in New York City, if you tell somebody, oh yeah, I bought an apartment and it's worth, you know, $1.2-1.3 million, that does not buy you a lot of an apartment. We're talking maybe 700-800 square feet. I mean, it's not a lot. So I suppose it depends on where you're buying is the whole point of that. Anyway, folks, we got to scoot out of here. Hey, a lot of breaking news. Listen to your local radio station. They're going to keep you updated. And you folks be good, America.